Good morning. My name is Susie Olson, and I'll be reading today's scripture. Today's scripture is from Matthew 5:33-37. Please turn there in your Bibles or follow along on the screen. Again, we'll be reading Matthew 5:33-37. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, "You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord." But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes or no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. This is God's word for us.
So good. Did anybody notice there's a watermelon on the stage? It's like somebody must have had a party here last night and forgot the watermelon. What on earth is going on here? Oh, that's good. And a couple of bananas. I need a volunteer. Pam? Awesome. Pam's going to volunteer. Come on up here, Pam. Everybody give it up for Pam. Pam, I have a very challenging question for you this morning, and I know that you're a studious person and very intelligent. If I were to peel this banana open, what do you think we would find inside?
Banana.
Banana. Is that your final answer?
It is.
Okay. Great. I need another volunteer who thinks that if I peel this banana open, I'll find something other than a banana in there. Can I get any volunteer who would like to be on that team? Anybody want to come up and stand on the team that says, if I peel this open, I'll find something other than a banana? Nobody? Really? Everyone thinks that if we peel this open, we got a hand way back here? Yeah. Okay, come on up. You think that if we peel this open, we are going to find something other than a banana? This is really good. Come on up.
Just you know, contrary.
Yeah. What do you think we're going to find?
Dead spider legs.
Okay, so we got the banana team, and we got the dead spider leg team. This is going to be awesome. Okay. Cool. So I think we should have the dead spider legs team open it up. So go ahead.
Okay. I'm pro at this. I do it with kids. Okay.
This is unbelievable. What's in there? What is that?
Look at right there. Oh, there's black. Usually there's black spider legs. This one doesn't.
Oh, at the very bottom. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Dead spider legs.
Perfect. Do you want to eat it?
Oh, I better now.
Okay. Are you sure? Are you sure? Because is it a banana or something else? Yes, it's a banana. All right, everyone, give it up for Pam for being on the winning team. Here you go. Oh, that's so great. Raise your hand, and I want a serious vote now. Don't be shy. There's no shame here. Just raise your hand if you genuinely believed that when we peeled that piece of fruit open, there was going to be a banana inside. Raise your hand. If that's what you genuinely believed. That's amazing. Wow. Okay. And if I were to, this is a miniature watermelon. If I were to cut this open, what do you think we would find in there?
A watermelon.
Addie B, nice. Watermelon. Any other ideas?
Seeds.
What kind of seeds?
Watermelon seeds.
Any other ideas? Some red fruit. What kind of red fruit? Watermelon, sweet. Okay, you guys are awesome. I was going to cut that open this morning, but I need to save a piece of fruit for the next service. Okay, friends, you heard it here in church this morning. If you peel open a piece of fruit that looks like a banana, what you will find inside is indeed a banana. Thus says the Lord. Now let us pray. No, I'm just kidding. The reason that we all know that when we peel that banana, we're actually going to find a banana inside, or if I were to cut open that watermelon, that we would find watermelon meat inside. The reason that we all know that is because we know that everything God creates has integrity. In other words, everything that God creates is the same on the outside as it is on the inside. Right? That what looks like a banana on the outside is indeed a banana on the inside. What looks like a watermelon on the outside is indeed a watermelon on the inside. Because everything that God creates has integrity. Integrity. That word integrity can mean wholeness. You probably remember from your high school math days that an integer is a whole number. Okay, it's not a fraction, but a whole number. Same word, integer, integrity, a wholeness. What's on the inside is the same as what is on the outside. Everything that God creates has integrity. And today, we're going to talk almost exclusively about integrity because that's what those verses that Susie read are all about, integrity. So let's pray as we dive in. Living God, thank you that you are a God of integrity, that you are who you say you are, and that this never changes. Thank you that everything you create has integrity, the same on the outside as on the inside, that you are a God of wholeness, a God of integrity. I pray this morning that you would help us to hear your voice, to understand what it is that your son Jesus is saying to us today. That we would not simply understand, but understanding so that we would become more and more people of integrity, the same on the outside as we are on the inside, whole people, new people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So everything in creation that God created has integrity. However, because of sin, you and I actually have a choice as to whether or not to be people of integrity. We can choose whether or not the outside matches the inside. We can choose whether or not to live in wholeness. And that's why Jesus is addressing us regarding integrity today. So, for example, we can smile on the outside, but be burning red hot angry on the inside. It's a lack of integrity because the outside does not match the inside. We can say one thing, but mean another. Jesus gets on the case of the scribes and Pharisees for this. Later in the gospel according to Matthew in chapter 23, Jesus has these harsh words for them. He says, "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside look beautiful, but inside they are full of the bones of the dead and all kinds of filth." Right? So the scribes and the Pharisees looked all wonderful and put together and beautiful and clean on the outside. You know, they were impressing people with how magnificent they looked and seemed. But on the inside, they were like a tomb. They were full of death and all kinds of filth. They lacked integrity. A lie is a perfect example of an expression of lacking integrity. So a lie is when what you know to be true on the inside is not what you say on the outside. So a lie is when the inside and the outside don't match up. It's because of the preponderance of lies. It's because lies are so normal in our world. It's because of this that people often feel the need to take an oath or to make an oath, To make an oath is to swear like a solemn promise and usually to invoke God's name. So, for example, we might say something like this: I'm telling you the truth, so help me God. I swear by God's name that I'm telling you the truth. And the reason that we sometimes feel the need to say things like that is because there are so many lies. Because lies are so commonplace. And so rather than just telling the truth and letting the truth stand for itself, letting your yes be yes and your no be no, we sometimes feel the need to back up the truth by making an oath and by invoking God's name to do that. And think about this. The only reason that's necessary is because we know that lies are so prevalent. I mean, why wouldn't you just tell the truth and that's it? Why do we have to say, no, I swear to God, I'm telling you the truth? Because we know that lies are so prevalent. So in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, it's in Matthew 5 through 7, we're walking through that whole sermon. Jesus is describing the new humanity that he is creating. He's describing the new humanity that gets formed when an individual, a community, or even a nation is gripped by the good news of Jesus Christ. When an individual or a community or a nation is gripped by the gospel, overcome with how much God loves us and sheds his grace upon us and the extent to which he will extend his arm and rescue us from the pit, the grace of God, when we're gripped by this grace, we become new women and men. We become new people. And Jesus is describing the kind of people we become, the new humanity that we become, when he is preaching this sermon. And one of the characteristics of this new humanity is that we become a people of integrity. What's on the inside matches what's on the outside. This last week, I was in Dallas for our denominational national gathering. It was a wonderful week, as it always is, lots of inspiration and lots of encouragement. We are a part, by the way, we are a part of a denomination or a movement of over 400 churches across the U.S. that are doing everything under the sun possible to build flourishing churches that make disciples of Jesus Christ. And I got to learn a whole bunch about that and hear stories of people who are doing that this last week. It was wonderfully encouraging. One of the keynote speakers that we got to hear from was Ruth Haley Barton. Dr. Barton is a spiritual director, and she was on staff at Willow Creek Community Church in the Chicago area, and then she burned out when she was about 30. And as a result of that, she founded and created the Transforming Center, where ministry leaders and pastors can come and rediscover their soul, to rediscover the soul of their leadership. Why is it that you got into this kind of ministry in the first place, and what is God doing in you and through you? Anyway, Dr. Barton, she said this at one point in one of her talks. She says, Jesus says these things, for example, these things that Susie just read about not making oaths. Jesus says these things to make us more like him. That's what he's after. Jesus wants to make us more like him, which, by the way, is making us more truly human, because Jesus is the one true human. Jesus is 100% pure human. If you look up human in the dictionary, you see a picture of Jesus. This is what humans are, and that is the likeness into which he is growing us, so that when we are growing in Christ, we're actually becoming more human, more truly human. And that's what Jesus is after here, with integrity. To be people of integrity is to be more truly human. So, what is Jesus saying? Why is he saying this? What do oaths have to do with the evil one? And what are the implications for us today? Those are the four questions that I want to briefly consider this morning. What is he saying? You know, like, what does this mean? Why is he saying this? Why is he saying anything about oaths? And at the very end there, it says, you know, anything less comes from the evil one. That seems like a jump. What do oaths have to do with the evil one? That's the third question. And then the fourth question, what are the implications for us today. So these four questions I'd like to address just briefly. So here we go. What is Jesus saying? He said, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all." Or in other words, do not make an oath at all. So Jesus is saying that rather than making sure that you do what you swore you would do in the Lord's name, don't swear by the Lord's name at all. You don't need to do that. So help me God, I swear to God that I'm telling you the truth. You don't need to do this. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. As long as you're telling the truth, as long as you're speaking and acting with integrity, with wholeness, that's what counts. This is what Jesus is saying. It's not complicated. You might be thinking like, wow, you can have a whole sermon on this? That's what I thought when I first began looking at this text. Jesus is just saying, look, just let your yes be yes and your no be no. In other words, make what's on the outside the same as what's on the inside, and then don't worry about it. Why is Jesus saying this? Why is he bringing up this issue of oaths in the first place? Well, it's because the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious professionals, if you will, they were super concerned about using the Lord's name in vain. And so they would never swear by the Lord's name for fear of not being able to keep their promise. Right? So they saw that if they would say, you know, oh, I swear, so help me God, and then if they were not able to carry through on what they said or what they promised, then that meant they would be using the Lord's name in vain. And they were so afraid of using the Lord's name in vain that they just wouldn't swear by God's name. And so instead, they would just swear by the temple. Or they would swear by the hair of their own heads. Or they would swear by anything under creation, just not by the Lord's name. And by the way, this makes it much more convenient to get out of the promises you make. Because I didn't swear by God, I just swore by the temple, and the temple's temporary anyway, right? So like I can kind of wiggle out of this promise. Well, this, of course, is ridiculous. And Jesus exposes their game-playing theatrics. He exposes this word game. And he says later in Matthew 23, he says, "Woe to you blind guides. You say, whoever swears by the sanctuary is bound by nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the sanctuary is bound by the oath. You blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the sanctuary that has made the gold sacred? And you say, look, whoever swears by the altar is bound by nothing, but whoever swears by the gift that is on the altar is bound by the oath. How blind you are. For which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred?" Jesus goes on, "So whoever swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And whoever swears by the sanctuary swears by it and by the one who dwells in it. And whoever swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by the one who is seated upon it." What Jesus is saying here is that whatever you swear by, ultimately, you are going to end up invoking the name of the Lord. Do you swear by the stars? You know, I swear I'm telling the truth as long as the stars are in the sky. Well, who flung the stars in the sky? The Lord. So guess what? You're swearing by God's name. You swear by the ocean? Who gave the ocean its depths? The Lord. So you're swearing by the Lord's name. You see, the scribes and Pharisees, they were just playing word games, and Jesus sees right through it. He just says, look, this is ridiculous. I'm paraphrasing him here. This is ridiculous. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. Do you know how, like, if you lie, you have to keep track of it? And you better keep careful track of it? And you better make sure that the people who are in on the lie also keep track of it and have the same version of the lie? And it can get very, very complicated because you have to keep track of, you know, keep your story straight. But if you just let your yes be yes and your no be no, you don't have to keep track of anything. Just tell the truth. So much easier. Just let your yes be yes. That's what Jesus is saying. And then he says, anything more than this comes from the evil one. Well, what do oaths have to do with the evil one? What does swearing have to do with the evil one? Well, back to how I began, the only reason that we feel the need to make an oath, you know, I'm telling you the truth, so help me God. The only reason that we feel compelled to say something like that is because of the presence of evil. Because the world is imbued with evil, because lies are real, lies are prevalent, lies are a part of our world. So it's because of the evil in our own hearts and also the evil one, the father of lies, the deceiver. That's like his nickname. He is the deceiver. He's the father of lies. And the only reason that we would have to make an oath or feel the need to make an oath like this is because of the presence of evil. So saying something like, so help me God, it sounds religious. It sounds spiritual even, but it's not godly at all, actually, to say something like that. In fact, oaths like that, that are intended to be barriers against a lie, you know, like, so help me God, like, I promise, like, this is the truth. An oath like that actually gives evil stage time. What you're doing is you're saying you are acknowledging the presence of evil, the presence of lies, and you're giving it stage time. My preaching mentor, Daryl Johnson, says, an oath gives evil a playground. An oath gives evil a playground. What you're doing is you're acknowledging evil. You're acknowledging a lie. This is what Jesus is after here. And he's saying in so many words, let your inside match your outside. Be people of integrity, people of wholeness. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. So what are we supposed to do with this? What are maybe some implications for us today? A few. First of all, we're invited to confess any untruth that is in us. What lies have we given stage time to in our lives? What lies are we living? What lies are we telling ourselves or telling others? Jesus is inviting us to confess any untruth in us. He's inviting us to become more and more people of integrity where the inside matches the outside. And it really is an invitation to confess. Say, Jesus, I have not been a man of truth. I have lied in the following ways, to myself or to others. I have not sought the truth or been a representative of the truth. It is an invitation to confess. Secondly, Jesus says these things to establish his truth in us and to make us more like him, more truly human. Right? So when we confess any untruth that is in us, we are becoming more like him. For Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the one true human, and when we confess any untruth, when we turn away from any untruth that is in us, we are becoming more like Jesus, and nothing pleases him more. You know, we are required today to take oaths for various things, right? If there are some things that we need to do in today's world that would require us to take an oath, and it's helpful here to distinguish between taking an oath and making an oath. And Lord, I hope that I'm not playing word games here like the scribes and the Pharisees, but I think it's helpful to distinguish between taking an oath and making an oath. So for example, if you adopt a child, you take an oath. You take an oath to be that child's parent. If you act as a witness in a court of law, you take an oath to tell the truth. If you serve in a public office as a senator or any kind of congressperson, you take an oath. So is Jesus saying that we should never do this? We should never do, we should never make or take any of these kinds of oaths? And this is where I think this distinction is helpful. It's okay to take an oath. Sometimes we need to take an oath in order to do these sorts of things. But Jesus is commanding us here not to make an oath, not to be the one who puts forth the oath, not to be the one who says, for example, so help me God, I will do it, or I am telling the truth. No, just let your yes be yes and your no be no. When you take an oath, you can simply say yes. To make an oath, you have to swear by God's name. And Jesus says, you're giving audience to the evil one. Not only is this unnecessary, but it demonstrates a kind of lack of integrity. When we let our yes and no speak for themselves, we're planting our feet on the solid bedrock of Jesus Christ, who himself is God's yes to all of God's promises. Right? He says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And who is God's yes to all of God's promises? Jesus himself. And so when we simply say yes or no, we are putting our feet on the solid bedrock of Jesus Christ, who is true. When we let our yes and our no speak for themselves, it is a sign that we are putting our trust in Jesus Christ, that we are finding our security in the unwavering faithfulness of Jesus Christ, of the living God who always keeps his promises, whose yes is always yes and whose no is always no. And when we put our trust in Jesus Christ, we find our security in Jesus Christ, we are becoming more and more like him, more and more truly human. The late Fuller Theological Seminary ethicist Lewis Smedes, he says this, and this is worth the price of admission today. He says, we are never more like Jesus than when we keep our promises. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. We're never more like Jesus when we keep our promises. To let your yes be yes and your no be no is about being a person of integrity. It's about being and becoming this new humanity that Jesus longs for us and creates in us. A new humanity that is the same on the inside as it is on the outside. And just as no one has any question about what we're going to discover when we peel back the yellow peel, may it also be true that no one in our circles of influence has any question about what's on the inside of us, because we've been people of integrity where what comes out is the same as what is inside. What you see is what you get. What's true on the outside is also true of what's on the inside. And I think this is especially a poignant word for our context. We live in Orange County. We live an hour and 20 minutes from Hollywood. Hollywood is the center of where what's on the inside is not the same as what's on the outside. Hollywood is the center of where we make the outside look super beautiful and what's on the inside is less important. And we're influenced by that. Maybe it's difficult to see that if you grew up in Orange County. You know, sometimes it's difficult to taste the water that you've been swimming in your whole life. But I can tell you, as one who has come here 5 years ago, that this is a problem everywhere. But this, our context, this feels like the epicenter of this, where we are in serious danger of becoming whitewashed tombs ourselves, where we fix ourselves up on the outside and we make ourselves look all beautiful without paying attention to what's going on the inside. And Jesus says, basically in these words, he's saying, you must be people of integrity where what's on the inside is the same as what's on the outside. That is about becoming more truly human. The human that God created you to be. Because remember, everything that God creates has integrity. You were created this way. You were created to be truly human, where what's on the inside is the same as what's on the outside. And you know what that is? That's beautiful. That's beauty. That's beauty in the eyes of God. And that's beauty to anyone who's really honest with themselves and paying attention. When what you see is what you get is real. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you are a God of integrity, that you always say what you mean and you mean what you say. Thank you that you, Jesus, are indeed God's yes to all of God's promises. That what people saw in you is what people got in you. There was never anything crooked or untrue about you. Jesus, by your redeeming power and through the presence of your Holy Spirit, would you make us more like you? More truly human, people who are the same on the inside as we are on the outside. And we trust, Jesus, that because you created us, because you fashioned us together in our mother's womb, fearfully and wonderfully knitting us together there, creating us as people of integrity, we trust that indeed we are most beautiful when what's on the inside is the same, is congruent with what's on the outside. Jesus, do this in us and through us, that we might be little Christs. For we pray this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen.